are dead, at least 9 injured when a shooter went on a rampage at a high school in Winder, Georgia.
Come on, let's go. We got a whole school to get evacuated, people. Come on now.
Appalachian High School was evacuated. The students gathered on the football field as a suspect was taken into custody. Vice President Harris addressed the tragedy while at a campaign event in New Hampshire.
We have to end this epidemic of gun violence in our country once and for all. You know, it doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be this way.
Barrow County Sheriff Judd Smith says they don't have a motive yet.
Lift up Barrow County schools, lift up Appalachia, lift up our agencies. This is going to take multiple days for us to get answers as to what happened and why this happened.
The community is holding a vigil in a park this evening for the victims. CBS News Special Report. I'm Stacy Lynn.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The latest poll finds Kamala Harris with a 6-point lead over Donald Trump with likely Wisconsin voters. The poll, commissioned by CNN, shows 50% support for Harris and 44% back Trump. The same poll shows Tammy Baldwin leading Eric Hovde in the U.S. Senate race 51-45. The poll is one of several CNN commissioned in swing states. Thanks to new federal price caps, people on Medicare in Wisconsin can expect to save a lot of money on drug costs next year. David Bowen is with AARP Wisconsin.
Enrollees who reach the new out-of-pocket cap will see an added savings of roughly $1,500 or 56%.
Starting January 1st, out-of-pocket drug costs will be capped at $2,000 a year for people on Medicare Part D. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following our upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, September 5th, the Southwood County Airport Commission meeting will take place at 8 a.m. at Alexander Field. The Property and Information Technology Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the Wood County Courthouse in Room 114. The Wisconsin Rapids Human Resources Committee will meet at 4 p.m. in the Council Chambers at City Hall. The Public Works Committee meeting will follow at 5. The Village of Port Edwards will hold their Finance and Human Resources Committee meeting at 5. The Town of Rome will have their CDA Committee meeting at 3, and the Town Board meeting will begin at 5. In Portage County, the Joint Review Board will meet at 10 a.m. The Commission on Aging, Aging and Disability Resource Center Board will meet at 4. And the Stevens Point Special City Plan Commission will meet at 6. The Human Resources Committee meeting has been rescheduled to September 12th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The NFL season is now just hours away. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Green Bay Packers will open up the season Friday night in Brazil against the Philadelphia Eagles. Coach Matt LaFleur says Green Bay can get off to a good start this week.
This is a great stage to be on. We're going to be the only game on in the world, and you get to go do it in a place that's never been done before. So it's a great opportunity for our guys to go out there and show what they're all about.
Kickoff for the Packers and Eagles is after 7 p.m. on Friday. Tomorrow night, the Ravens and Chiefs get the NFL season started. The St. Louis Cardinals were able to move a game back up in the standings behind the Brewers with a 7-4 win in 12 innings last night. The game was tied at 3 going into extras before St. Louis got 3 runs in the 12th inning to win. Now Milwaukee is 10 games up on the Cubs and 11 on the Cardinals going into Wednesday night's series finale with St. Louis. And this week is the start of conference season in high school football. You can find one of nearly a dozen games right here on Civic Media this week. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Join James and Southwood County Humane Society for Pet of the Week on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Stay up to date on needs, events, and available pets. Over 100 pets have been adopted thanks to area sponsors. To learn how to help, call Ashley at 715-496-0710.
High-pressure system continues to hold today, giving us sunny skies and still summery highs flirting with 80 degrees. And tomorrow, a cold front drops through the state, bringing showers and maybe a thunderstorm. Either way, behind it, high temperatures fall to the mid-60s. I'm
meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 80 degrees at our studios.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
The Todd Alba Show.
Happy Labor Day to you. So there are companies out there who do value the worker, but there are a lot who still don't. And that's why I think it's so important to stop today and remember those who fought so hard and what this day is about. Yes, go out, have a beer, have a brat, enjoy it. But take a minute to pause, reflect, and say thanks to all those people who sacrificed for working people.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time President Joe Biden visits Westby, Wisconsin in the Southwest. We will cover it for you. Have your phone calls as well. Be here.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, September 4th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. We're welcoming into the studios not only our friend Sheriff Sean Becker from the Wood County Sheriff's Department. It's good to see you, Sean.
Always great to be here. Thanks, James.
And we say a big thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, the gang over there that does such great work. Do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, and subscribe to their page. You will not be disappointed. Support the work that they are doing over there. We always like supporting our officers, supporting different events and different causes that you guys are into. And, sir, one of the things that I appreciate is the transparency, the open conversation you and I have. We had a little pregame. You asked me a question that my parents have asked me many times in my life. You want the good news or the bad news first? And I'll answer it the same way I always have. I'm a big believer in let's rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
Let's get to that and we can wrap up on some more positive stories.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah, getting the opportunity to talk a little bit about what's been going on and a couple of events that have come up that were, you know, one, quite scary for law enforcement. On the 20th of August, I won't forget it. I was woken up at about 1:30 in the morning by Captain Hugesteiger, basically saying that, you know, our deputies and many other law enforcement agencies in the area were being shot at. And I'm like, okay. And then as you kind of, you wake up and you're you know, dusting the cobwebs off and whatnot and, you know, coming into work. And it was an ongoing situation. And to back up just so people know what occurred, the Wisconsin Rapids Police Department earlier in that evening were investigating domestic disturbance. And that out of that investigation, the suspect was identified as Clinton Moyette. They wanted him stopped and arrested for domestic charges of battery and some other stuff. So that information is shared with other law enforcement immediately once the information, they get it. And it goes around not just with our department, but everybody in central Wisconsin that, hey, this is somebody that we're looking for and we want them, you know, taken into custody. So a short time after that information came in to you know, to local law enforcement, Portage County deputy had located the suspect who had taken off in a vehicle. So we all had all that information out and noticed the vehicle was heading west on State Highway 54, just outside of Plover, heading back towards Rapids. So based on the information that was shared, the deputy initiated a traffic stop, and the suspect, Mr. Moyette, who is a criminal, decided not to pull over. So a vehicle pursuit was initiated, and then during that pursuit, a short time after it was initiated, Moyette decided to start shooting at that deputy. Again, this is, and I'll repeat it a few times, this is all on video. At some point, the public will get the opportunity to see it, but it's still, you know, very, very new in the criminal justice system here in Wood County. So the pursuit continues, even though the suspect had shot at the Portage County deputy and continued towards Wisconsin Rapids. And of course, all this information is being shared, you know, amongst all of our departments that this is occurring. So the Grand Rapids Police Department, their officer, had gotten a position on State Highway 54 to attempt to put spike strips out to disable Moyet's vehicle. During that process, Moyet shot at him, you know, shot at the Grand Rapids officer. Thank God missed, and the pursuit continued into Wisconsin Rapids, going through the east side of Rapids onto the west side of Rapids. You know, more law enforcement officers are now involved, Wisconsin Rapids Police Department, the Sheriff's Department, like I said, Grand Rapids was, and obviously Portage County, they are still the primary agency with the pursuit. Then Moyet shot at one of our deputies, six times we counted, and hit our squad twice, thank God, missing you know, our deputy, and the pursuit continued. Rapids PD was able to deploy spike strips, and the suspect Moyet went over him, and did disable the vehicle several blocks later, just off of A Street by Key Savings Bank. And once the vehicle was disabled, you know, he had many law enforcement officers now converging on the suspect, and he got out and started shooting again. Portage County returned fire, and the suspect, we did miss them, and he missed us again, and took off on foot. And that was about the time that you know, all of our administration and all of our departments were getting contacted, and that's when I had come in. And at that point, we had no idea where Moyet was. And so we had deployed some, you know, our armored vehicle. You know, that was the first armored vehicle on scene. Marshfield Police Department was sending theirs. And then the Stevens Point Police Department was sending theirs as well, because we really had no idea. We had a several block radius that we were working, but you know, we weren't going to, you know, do it without armored vehicles, because you know, we've already proven that he wants to kill one of us. Right. Bottom line. And then Captain Hugesgeiter remembered Scott Sager, who recently retired, has his own business. He's a part owner of a drone business, you know, that, you know, does several different things. But Scott was our I wouldn't say the pioneer, but the first person that really took on to the program at the Sheriff's Department of having a drone over 10 years ago. And he had said, you know, when he retired, hey, if you ever need me, call me, you know. And Charlie called him, and he was there right away, you know, and deployed his drone, which is a newer drone, and got it up in there. And I'll tell you what, it's hard not to get emotional, but he saved that, you know, officers' lives, because we had no idea where Moyet went. And once the drone got up in there, all of a sudden they found a heat signal on top of a roof. And then they got closer, and it's Moyet on top of this roof. Then they were able to spotlight him, you know, show exactly where he is. So the SWAT teams that were both in the area, from, you know, one from our department and the other one from Wisconsin Rapids Police Department, were able to, okay, now we get him in an area that we can contain, and go over and try to deal with the situation. Moyet continued to shoot at us. Shot at the drone multiple times, shot at the both special response teams, you know, numerous times from the roof. This is all on video. It's very graphic, and it's surreal when you think about what's happening, and now all of us are in, and we're hearing it on the radio. It's you know, to relive it, it's hard, because you know what the intent is here. It is definitely to take an officer's life. And then when you watch the video, the drone footage especially, he's very tactful while he's on the roof, moving from, you know, side to side, shooting rounds at us, and then, you know, kind of dropping his head down. And as this went on, one of the Rapids officers on their SWAT team was able to return fire and strike Moyet and end a threat. And then it continues from there, you know, where the drone stayed, you know, watching him as there was no movement. The gun that he was using slid off the roof, so it didn't appear that there was any other firearms that he had. So now it's into the rescue mode, right? You know, they went and found the gun first. There's still one round in it. So, I mean, we only can, you know, assume what that was for. So fortunately, we were able to take care of the threat. And then the life-saving, you know, things that we do in these kind of situations took over. And the Rapids, Wisconsin Rapids SWAT team, you know, were able to get to him, take him off the roof, get him to an ambulance, and then get him for treatment. And he has survived. And we had to guard him for well over a week up at Marshfield Medical. And now he was returned to our jail over the last weekend. So now we have to make plans, or we're currently making plans to house Moyet. We'd prefer not to have him in our jail because, you know, he's trying to kill our local law enforcement officers. So we're probably going to work with Wapaka County, who we contract with, to see if we can get him there. There's still some medical issues that he's going through because he was shot in the upper neck area. So he's going to continue to have treatment. So that'll be a challenge, but we'll work through that. But for me, and, you know, all the leaders that came out in law enforcement, you know, between Wisconsin Rapids Police Department, Portage County Sheriff's Department, just the you know, the teamwork of working together, but knowing the reality of the situation that this individual was trying to kill a law enforcement officer. He shot us, I think, around 30 times, you know, at several of us, not just once. And thank God, you know, that none of our team members got hit. We're very fortunate in that regard. And, you know, now it's the letting the criminal justice system take over at this point. Mike got a large cash bond, which is well-deserved. Judge Brazo did that yesterday, something over $2 million. So, I mean, he's not going to be leaving custody for a long time, and he shouldn't. And, there, you know, there'll be charges as the investigation continues. DCI came out. They do a fantastic job in these kind of situations because here you have multiple agencies involved in this. You know, you have four law enforcement agencies, you know, locally, and it's hard to have somebody exclusively investigate that when you have so many scenes. You have one on State Highway 54, not too far from McCain's, where that pursuit started and where the shots were initially fired, and then at the Grand Rapids officer. Then you had it at our officer, and then where the pursuit ended, you know, with Portage County and Wisconsin Rapids PD, and then another scene when he is on the roof, you know, waiting to ambush us, you know, and like I said, you know, a couple minutes ago about Scott Sager. Bottom line, James, he saved lives. He saved cops' lives by getting the drone up and locating him. We had no clue he was on a roof. No clue. And then once you see the tactful movements, I mean, the intent is there. And again, thank God he missed. But, you know, with Scott getting there in the timely fashion, did, you know, and he'd only been retired maybe 2 weeks.
I was just going to say, yeah, he just retired.
And, yeah, and it really said a lot that, you know, the cost of technology and equipment can be a lot of money, but that cost is nothing compared to a life, you know, mm-hmm. especially, you know, a law enforcement officer's life that, you know, checks in at every shift, not knowing what's going to happen. And that would have crushed me if we'd have lost somebody, bottom line, and our community.
Yeah.
And thank God that didn't happen. But it's a, you know, just a harsh reminder of how dangerous this job is. And furthermore, you know, in the last month in central Wisconsin, this isn't the first one of these situations that's happened. Adams County had one where a vehicle pursuit was initiated, and then that suspect decided to shoot at law enforcement. And we went down to assist in that situation. And then a week or two later, Portage County has a similar situation where a suspect shot at a Sauk County deputy. Again, thank God, it was off a traffic stop. Thank God, missed him. Got out of the area, and then was held up in a residence over in the Amherst area. And then a long standoff ensued. And we, again, went over there to help because that's, again, that partnership that we all have within not just in central Wisconsin, but anywhere in the state when another agency asks for help. But here are three similar situations where, you know, you have people, criminals, you know, taking it upon themselves to shoot at law enforcement. And I've never had that in my career, you know, in a short time frame like that, and now, you know, we're talking central Wisconsin. These are people that are making the decision that they want to kill a cop. And that's hard. You know, I've been to some cops' funerals, some very close to me, and that really breaks you. It breaks the spirit of any law enforcement officer that puts the badge on and goes and checks on for duty, not knowing that they might not return. And then when they don't return, just look at the aftermath of that effect. Not only the law enforcement agency that they work for or the entire team of law enforcement officers throughout not just the state but our country, but then look at the big impact that family that isn't going to have a loved one come home because a criminal decided to take that officer's life. You know, and it's hard, like I said, James, it's hard to talk about, but I think people should be aware of it. Because this is what we go through and it's happening here. We're going to do a press release today on Moyet and with, you know, some of the details that were not released and with his mugshot, because people should know what this individual looks like, mm-hmm. this criminal. You know, and just with the reminder of, you know, what we go through. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's hard. But, you know, we talk about silver linings and, you know, you look at it with Scott, you know, that, you know, showing that he didn't, you know, walk away from this career. You know, he's still part of it no matter 2 weeks retired or 10 years retired.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're always part of the team that you dedicated, you know, your life to. He really stepped up and, again, saved lives.
Yeah.
Because Moyet was shooting directly at us, mm-hmm. you know. And, you know, and then, you know, we always talk about the aftermath. Okay, physically, we're all okay. Everybody that was part of this situation, we're all okay. You know, but as we always brought up our wellness and our mental health as law enforcement officers, that's where it hurts me, because I have to look at it. You know, I'm not in the thick of it. Where, you know, I'm not on the SWAT team or the special response team right there. You know, I was blocks away, and that it's like I want to be there, but it's not my role at that time. But, you know, just thinking of what we just talked about, you know, and how it would crush, you know, any administrator on losing one of their own or somebody, you know, close by, a neighboring agency, whether it's Wisconsin Rapids PD or Portage County or Grand Rapids Police Department, you know, a smaller agency with somebody that had just started his career.
Yeah.
You know, and just thinking of the, you know, the reality of the situation and what could have happened. And in our wellness now, mm-hmm. and knowing that, you know, we were shot at, and even as an individual officer, you know that you were shot at with somebody intending on killing you because you wear a badge. There's nothing else that this person didn't know any of us personally.
Yeah.
His issue is us because we're cops. Yeah. That's the issue, and that's sad.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, again, that really harsh reality of, you know, how dangerous this job can be no matter where you work.
Appreciate the details. Appreciate this press release that will be released. Keeping the community informed, it certainly helps a lot. And to your point, creates empathy, I believe, in this topic and for our officers. It's something that it affects different areas differently. And something, a situation like this, as you mentioned, that is fluid, that is moving. I'm curious, as you and your team are trying to share information and trying to keep up with literally a moving situation, you're also trying to inform the community and give them a heads up or you know, how I don't know if warning is right word, but something like that. How do you manage both of those things?
It was hard because, you know, once we, you know, I got to give out, you know, the other teammates, I call them, because they're department heads at the Sheriff's Department. You know, we opened up our EOC at the courthouse, and Sarah Christensen came in, our emergency management director, and then our dispatch manager, Tony Bastine, both came in to get that operational, because then, you know, Assistant Police Chief Scott DeWitt and I were there. Okay, now we've got a scene that we're both helping them. We're working together to manage it, and it's still going on. You know, and so, you know, we get everything operating going, so we're hearing everything on the radio, and then we're talking. All right, we've got some containment here, you know, but we're going to have to, you know, get some public notification here. Here, you got a shooting like a half block off of A Street. you know, and we got to start letting people know, because, you know, what are we going to do if we can't find this suspect by the time, you know, it's 6 a.m. when A Street is packed? Right. Yeah. You know, how do we get, you know, and then we're brainstorming about, okay, you know, dispatch did an awesome job notifying people and, you know, in that close proximity of where we thought he was. But what's next? You know, what do we do next to get people notified of? And then other things that were coming in. So many people have Ring cameras, and that's awesome. Yeah. You know, and people were calling in saying, hey, I had the suspect just walk by, you know, my front door in that area, mm-hmm. you know, walking by, and you could see he's gone. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're like, okay, and then they're sending us that information. We're sharing that with everybody so we kind of know how close he is to us, you know. But the challenge with that can be, as the shooting went down, as the end of the situation went down, people were recording that and then putting it on social media and not sharing it with us. Yeah. They're getting that information out there. It was just a reminder of, you know, the life we live in with technology and how information, it gets out there so fast. You know, again, thank God nobody got hurt, you know, no law enforcement got hurt, no civilians got hurt. And when somebody's, you know, shooting that many rounds out, we're lucky. We're very lucky with the situation. But, you know, working it with Scott, we worked very well together, you know, trying to stay ahead of the, you know, as we could when the Rapids officer had shot the suspect, completely justified. All right, now how do we get him off the roof? Mm-hmm. You know, all right, calling the fire department, getting a ladder truck there, you know, and trying to jump ahead of it so we can keep managing the scene, mm-hmm. and then still looking at, all right, now who is going to investigate this scene? You know, mm-hmm. and that's where, you know, the phone calls with the connection you have with the state. DCI supervising agent Shane Heiser, he's out of the WAS office, great working relationship, you know, and got a hold of him right away, explained the circumstances, and it just ended, and he's like, okay, what do you need? Mm-hmm. And then the support from the state was phenomenal. Within, you know, a couple hours, you had, you know, DCI agents coming from all over the state to investigate it. And then, you know, going back to, you know, the media, not this, but the media that we collect as far as all the camera footage, you know, all the body camera footage, all the squad camera footage, all the different agencies that have all this footage, add the drone footage. Mm-hmm. You know, they had a couple people just, you know, right, putting a list together, saying, okay, what agencies were there? Who was there? Now, who do we contact to get the mm-hmm. footage? Because everything is all on video. And okay. at some point, you know, that'll be public, especially mm-hmm. the drone footage. I want people to see it, just to see what we went through, and then show what tools that we do have that help make our job safer.
We have about a minute before we get to wrap up our first half hour with you, Sheriff Becker. And one thing that I think is really noteworthy about this as well, as we are looking for silver linings in these situations, certainly that our citizens, that our officers were safe from this, that it wasn't a worse situation. Mm-hmm. What you mentioned about Scott and the drones, I think that is another conversation we could have about yeah. the importance of having those in our offices and our departments, how much that could help everything from a missing senior to a missing child to a situation like this. But I hope, I really, really am hoping out there, you guys are reading between the lines as well, and something that this man is too humble or too proud to, not too proud, too humble to mention, but the quickness, not only a reaction time of you and these fellow officers, but how quickly you have to go from, I'm trying to protect our community, I'm in an aggressive situation that I have to be aggressive for, and immediately flipping to, I'm trying to save a life. I'm trying to save the person that was just shooting at my people, my team. Mm-hmm. I'm getting emotional just thinking about it. Yeah. Like that's something that it doesn't take a badge to relate to. That's mm-hmm. something we can all relate to, and something that we should all be defending. We should all be fighting for, not just our officers. We need to have you guys' back in these situations. As quickly as we are as a society to jump down the throats of somebody, of an officer that does something wrong, mm-hmm. we need to be just as quick to pounce on these things of, hey, that's our people. That's our team. It's not just your team. That's our team, too, and defend these situations. It calls on all of us as a community to do that. We'll have more with Sheriff Sean Becker when we come back here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most.
From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
7 Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Calls are growing for the NFL to move the Green Bay Packers game in Brazil Friday night. The air quality in Sao Paulo is bad due to raging wildfires. Also, the Supreme Court has imposed a national ban on Twitter. Wisconsin Republican State Representative John Mocco points to crime in Brazil and concerns about the country's contentious election. Experts say getting involved in voting are good for your health. Craig Burns is a social work professor. He says it's true all the way down to local zoning laws.
Whether people have access to an affordable grocery store that sells healthy produce, or whether they have access to safe transportation.
Burns says voters should know local and state races are sometimes decided by just a few votes. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. September is National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. The Wood County Health Department is reminding us this topic is important because suicide is not discussed as much. The goal of this month is to make sure that everyone has access to the resources they need to talk about suicide prevention and get the help they need. You can be the one to help someone in emotional pain. It is okay to ask someone if they are suicidal. You can reduce a person's access to highly lethal items or places. You can be there to listen and help connect them to a crisis lifeline. Staying in touch after a crisis can make a big difference. 988 is the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. There's an open house event for Wisconsin State Patrol in Wausau this month. If you're interested in a career in law enforcement, you can stop in from 3 to 7 on Tuesday, September 17th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Well, just like back-to-school stuff hitting the shelves in July, it's not too early to start thinking about horror films as we start our crawl toward Halloween. Prime Video just added several new scary films to its roster, including what's been called a gem from 2009 called Drag Me to Hell, starring Alison Lohman and Justin Long. Lohman's character has a curse put on her, sending her perfect life into upheaval. Speaking of Justin Long, he is in another scary flick called Barbarian that is worth a check out as well. Another scary movie getting pretty big hype was just acquired by Netflix. New Life is an indie film from the UK that is not a Netflix original, but dropped on the streamer last weekend. It's a thriller that is pulling a 93% score on Rotten Tomatoes. The audience score is hovering around 70%, which probably means there is a surprise ending. This will be the place for all your recommendations leading up to Halloween. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight with a few showers and thunderstorms. Lows mid-50s. Sun and cloud mix for tomorrow with a couple of storms around. High in the mid-70s. Cooler for the rest of the week and weekend. With sunshine, highs in the mid-60s Friday and Saturday. Mid-70s Sunday. Right now it's 80.
Data shows that after a child turns 9 in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted. But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, we'll talk to a candidate for assembly way up north in this week's Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome back to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, September 4th, 2024. I have your host, James, here, and we're spending the hour with our good friend, Sheriff Sean Becker and Wood County Sheriff's Department. Sir, we have some other news that we need to get to as well. But real quickly, I feel like this ties into, you know, this past story and the story we have coming up. And it's something that nationally I don't see people talking about nearly enough. And that is the situation that happened over the weekend with San Francisco 49ers wide receiver Ricky Purcell. He was in San Francisco, noteworthy, one of our richest communities, one of our most, I've spent a lot of time in San Francisco. There's not a dirty part of San Francisco. Like, that is just a very well-lit city, a good community. You have a lot of people in California that consider that the, you know, even more than Beverly Hills in some ways, the richer part of the state. So an armed robbery is attempted in this situation, in a ritzy town, so just putting it in that. Ricky is shot. Through the chest, thankfully goes through. Even more of a miracle, officer hears the shots, and I'm trying to find her name, and I apologize, I don't have that right at my hands here. I will have that before I wrap up, but a San Francisco police officer sees this, happens, gets over there, is able to get information from Ricky about the assailant, while also holding him up and keeping the blood pressure all right, talking him through, because he's asking her, am I going to die? Yeah. And she's telling him, no, not on my watch, not today, man. And she saves his life. And all this happens. And I hear plenty of Sports Center, plenty of people saying that his story and talking about him, and it's very noteworthy. And I'm very thankful that he's okay. Yeah. But I don't hear enough people talking about this young lady, this wonderful officer that handled this situation. Again, going from job, I'm on the job, I'm looking around for crime, to saving a life. Yep. Like that, in the blink of it, quicker than the blink of an eye. It's just miraculous what we ask of our officers and what we don't cover enough in society in these situations. And we have another subject to cover here as well, as far as that. I feel all three of these stories tie in together.
Yeah, well, it's noteworthy what you just said, and I appreciate you bringing up the fact that, you know, that the officer in San Francisco, you know, witnesses are close by and, you know, does the life-saving measures, you know, right away, and then still communicates, you know, the information about the suspect out to everybody else so they can, you know, find him. That's huge, because you got such a chaotic situation going on, and like you said, you got to change your thought mechanism to, hey, now it's life-saving mode, but I'm still going to have to multitask and get more information out to stop other people from getting hurt. You know, if, you know, shooting, you know, this football player, which I'm sure the suspect, I think, is 17 years old. It didn't matter who the individual was. Yeah. His intent was to, you know, rob him. Yeah. You know, and look what he did.
Whether they're shooting at a rookie NFL player or a police officer, these assailants, these people, they're not thinking about that. They don't care about those subjects. I did want to mention her name is Sergeant Joelle Harrell. And keep that name in mind, everybody, because that's a hero right there.
Absolutely.
And another story that we had to get a touch on.
Yeah, unfortunately, over the Labor Day weekend, we had a fatality, a traffic fatality that was reported to us over the weekend. It was on the 31st, reported about 10 to midnight. And just a very a tragic situation, as all traffic fatalities are, because a fatality means that somebody obviously lost their life. But here you have a situation that we respond to, and somebody was speeding, driving left the center, intoxicated, and struck a motorcyclist pretty much head on. And so then we're dealing with this situation, and then obviously, you know, trying to save somebody's life who did not make it and died, you know, at the scene. That was Miles Dewar. And now you have to look in the secondary mode, which now is really taking the priority, is the investigation. And we've been very fortunate having, you know, those strong working relationships. Like I always say, the State Patrol came out to assist us with that, to do the traffic reconstruction. And then we're handling the investigation on our end, as far as, you know, dealing with, you know, collection of evidence, taking statements, you know, doing everything that we're expected to do under, you know, a tragic situation. So the driver of this situation, or this crime, basically, his name is Rait Abdu, 25 years old, and this is suspected now, but third offense, drunk driving. So you have a young adult, third time around, and during an investigation, I have no problem sharing a lot of this information. Previous to the crash, they're in front of the courthouse, drinking, you know, Snapchatting that information out. And then even more so, the pastor that's with him, Trevor Paulson from Stevens Point area, is videotaping it and Snapchatting it. And they have the whole crash on video. The whole thing of taking somebody's life.
There are no words.
Miles Dewar died because they're out being extremely irresponsible, you know, drunk driving. And now you look at the lives that are changed. You know, the Dewar family has to bury, a sibling, a son, you know, and I'm sure there's many friends there. And then you have this Rait, you know, Abdu that, all right, now, and he rightfully deserves this. He's going to go to prison for a long time, and he should. Bottom line, he should. And that will have some impact on his family, and I understand that, but he made the decision to do what he did. And I really feel that, you know, he's taken advantage of the system throughout all the way until this tragedy. And he's also got a high cash bond, which says a lot about our criminal justice system here in Wood County, over $2 million. So I don't foresee him walking out of our facility anytime soon. But again, and it goes back to, you know, the social media platforms, you know, the world we live in today, where, you know, the communication is so, you know, it's ongoing, it's present, it's there, and then you're Snapchatting a tragedy, and you're Snapchatting, you know, what's happening before that, you know, in front of the courthouse. It makes, you know, well, it's terrible, because, you know, you've got somebody now that, like I said, has lost their life, and now the aftermath of the family that has to live without their family member, you know, their loved one. And just because somebody's being stupid and really doesn't care.
Yeah.
Bottom line, doesn't care. You're 25 years old, and this is the third time that you've been put in a situation. Now it's quite a bit harsher, and you're going to pay. You know, and that's on him.
appreciate the coverage and the details on this one and the transparency as always, sir. I have a number of follow-up questions, but they'll be off air, actually, because okay. I know we have a lot to cover, and I do want to get to a couple of other things. Like, you guys were at the fair recently.
Yeah. Lieutenant Nate Dean just got the day shift. He spent 11 years on nights. One of our younger leaders at the Sheriff's Department had a couple years ago, you know, took in the fair and say, hey, I want to do a couple of things to really showcase our department, you know, and he's done a phenomenal job. I remember back in the day when I would work the fair with one of my great friends who retired, Randy Dorst, and we would be put up in a corner of one of the buildings and nobody come by us. It was just like, all right, what are we doing? But Nate took it to a huge level and you know, brought in Marshfield Police Department and really the entrance of the fair, you know, we have an area that we can showcase, you know, our partnership with Marshfield Police Department, you know, and other first responders and the dispatch trailer is set up right there. And you're walking in and the first contact you're having is with, you know, with your first responders and law enforcement officers from your community. And so we had, you know, our armored vehicle up there, Marshfield did. We had our snowmobiles up there. We had, you know, different people coming up, whether or not they're from the K-9 unit or just showing off some of our gear, you know, and things like that. And Nate, you know, hey, that he's there the entire week. And then, you know, many of us go up there and take turns working with him. But just did a phenomenal job, getting great feedback. And I'm really proud of Nate for taking something that kind of got pushed away under previous administrations and then coming to us with an idea. I mean, you never know where your next great idea is going to come from. And Nate had one, he grabbed it and really, really showcased that our department and, you know, and law enforcement with the community. And again, got some really, really good positive feedback, not only from the community, but our county board notices that too. And that's, you know, part of the people we work for.
Right. And it's really good to hear. We were nice enough. Civic Media was cool enough to get us a booth over there. Oh, we were there all week. And when I was up there with Melissa, I came in one entrance and went out the other on purpose because I had heard from a couple of people that you guys were, or that we had a sheriff's department set up over there, and I wanted to see how it was looking. And I also wanted to say hi because, similar to what you were saying, I wasn't sure who was stopping by and some of that. It was busy. I didn't have time to go over there or anything. Mm-hmm. They had plenty of people over there. There were kids over there laughing. It was a really fun experience. It was really cool to see what was going on there. A big tip of the hat to him.
Yeah, thank you. He amped it up. He had to do a lot of giveaways. He had a wheel they'd spin, and kids would spin that, and they get, you know, a prize. And he did a phenomenal job. So I'm happy he's going to be on day shift because I think he'll be able to do some more PR stuff that, you know, we always could do. You know, we always could do more.
Yeah. Speaking of PR events and events coming up, you have a K-9 event around the corner.
We had a couple of wheelers from both Wisconsin Rapids and Marshfield did brat fries for us. And they've been a great community partner as well, supporting the K-9 unit, as well as Wisconsin Rapids Kiwanis. They did a fundraiser for a golf outing, and they chose their charity to donate us to our K-9 units. And we talked a lot about, you know, that support that we've been getting from, you know, the community has been ongoing for many years, and it's gotten stronger and stronger and stronger of people that want to, you know, help us out. Mm-hmm. And our Canada unit seems to benefit the most from it, which I'm not complaining.
People, you know, love dogs.
They do. And, you know, with the therapy dog and, you know, seeing other agencies, you know, doing the same thing or already having a program like that established is pretty big because, you know, getting Lola out there with Susanna, you know, at any public event that we can get them to, it's a little different dog than the police dog, mm-hmm. you know, that has the job to either, you know, find articles or find drugs or explosives or protect us. You know, the therapy dogs, you know, hey, come on, I'll sit in your lap. You know, and that calming, you know, effect it has on people is huge, especially in law enforcement. So, you know, a big shout out to, you know, the community partners and, you know, our foundation, our Acacia Foundation, that has, you know, just done a phenomenal job fundraising for us, and you know, all the community partners, huge.
I joke that people love dogs, but another part of this that I think speaks to the increase or the rise of not only events like this, but the community wanting to help with the canine unit mm-hmm. and the therapy dog unit and these things is I think we're understanding more and more what our officers are going through, yeah. what are expected of them. And so many I know in the community are looking at things of, okay, what do you need? What do you need to do yeah. your job? Because we don't know. And the more that these kind of conversations or those kind of events where you're in the public and you're able to communicate with people right back and forth and show just a human being with a badge, like some of these things, I think it creates more and more empathy. And hopefully, along with that, being a recruiting tool and sparking something in a young kid. We've talked about this with touch a truck events and some of that. A little kid comes by, sees a squad car, maybe gets a spark to be the next Joe Friday. We don't know. That was a really old reference I just made. I don't know if anybody even got that.
And I talked about it before, coaching football and the connections you make with, kids in high school. And it's pretty cool to hear kids say, I want to be a cop. Yeah. Yeah. One of our running backs that unfortunately got hurt, senior year, yeah. Sager. And he had told me last year he's thinking about, law enforcement and he wanted to go play college football and what would be a good, college to go to and not only get the opportunity to possibly play football, but also what would be great to guide me towards that career in law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And he's still interested, yeah. and we've talked about it even after his, career ending injury. He's still, that's something that's his goal. That's what he right still on. Wants to be in. And that's cool. And he's not the only one that I've had that conversation with. While coaching, because people know what I do when I'm there, and Tony Biolo is just awesome. Of course, I got history there, but with what he's done with back to badge game, and our first home game, he goes, hey, take your squad and drive and escort the team up to the field. Mm-hmm. And the kids liked it. If the kids didn't want to do it, I'm like, okay, but no, they did, and lights going, and I was able to put some music that they chose on the PA, and as we came up to the stadium, it was cool. And you throw that awesome. Siren on, and then they're on the field, and that's fun.
I actually got goosebumps from that. That's just cool.
And you know how I feel about police escorts, especially when it relates to kids.
Yeah.
When they do something really cool in the community, it's like, hey, let's do it, because that makes us all feel good.
We also want to congratulate one of our Rapids own, one of ours that has kind of gone on. And then it's a bit of a bittersweet feeling, but totally. We do want to congratulate him.
Yeah, Joe Zerflu. He started as the police chief over at Grand Rapids PD. And we've talked about him before, and he's been on the show before. Had a phenomenal career with the sheriff's department, but, I look at it, miss him greatly. Miss him more than people probably know. Great friend, great leader, great teammate. But the other thing that you look at is you can be proud of a friend and an individual when they step up to a leadership position, within our profession, and it's local. So it's really it's awesome to see that. I got a chance to stop by and see him yesterday, his first day. And just BS with him a little bit, and it's different, but it's a good different, because I'm very proud that he had the career with us, and it's going to continue as he leads another police agency within or law enforcement agency within Wood County. It's like Scott Drew, mm-hmm. Very similar, going up the ranks at the sheriff's department, and then moved on to lead Port Edwards. Those are great friends to have, and people that I'm very proud of.
Just saying a big congratulations to him and his family. Well deserved. And enjoy, Joe. We'll see you around, man. Mm-hmm. We'll see you around. There is a new jail program. Well, I wanted to talk about the new jail, and there's a program you guys are doing over there with Mid-State.
Yeah. Mid-State's been a great partner, within the community. There's so many people that I've talked about before. But Mid-State came up with another a training program, something that we can put in our inmate programming. And Ted Melby, goes back a few years. He graduated from SPASH a few years after I did, but we were fortunate. I've talked about it before, that partnership with Mid-State and Wood County and Human Services looking at you know, hey, how can you provide some leadership training for, you know, our department heads? And Ted taught one of those classes that I went to, and then he started off telling about his story. And then, you know, I'm like, oh, you went to Smash. Oh, okay, now we got something to talk about. Right. Played football, he did this. And then, so we kind of striked up that conversation and kind of developed into a friendship. And then he had started teaching at Mid-State full-time recently, and then we kind of brainstormed, okay, what can you bring to our jail? You know, I mean, you're doing some leadership training for your leaders within not just Wood County, but in the community. But what about, you know, something for a jail? So he came in and taught a course for six inmates that really focused on, you know, once you get released, you know, what's that next step? You know, the goals, you know, moving forward, you know, a lot of those things. And, you know, that he put together as a course. And I'm really proud of the fact that, you know, we're continuing to expand the opportunities for people that are in custody that want to get better, mm-hmm. you know, because most of the people, besides the two individuals I already talked about, will be returning back to the community at some time. And, you know, six people, six inmates, hey, want to try this, and it's new, and we got great feedback, and it's something that, you know, we're going to continue to showcase that, especially that relationship with Mid-State Technical College.
A big thank you to them, as always, and what they do in our communities. Wherever you have a Mid-State, you have a tech school that is putting into its community, and yeah. I appreciate that and connecting with its community. This is also a bit of a full circle moment, because I would say that if not our first conversation, one of our earlier conversations was, how do you stop the revolving door? Yeah. How do you stop the return criminal? And so much of it was asking, you know, why you did what you did, giving opportunities to the individuals that are fighting for them, that want to, you know, pursue them and everything, because this isn't a handout, it's a hand up kind of situation. Mm-hmm. with that, and now we have a program like this involved, where this is something that it's an extension of that, or an add-on to that, if you will, about, you know, hey, you tired of being a knucklehead? This is how you can get out of this is right. how you can end the cycle. And so for not just that person and that individual, but possibly generations of his or her siblings or you know, any of the their children or any of these other things, it really does lead into other stuff. Yeah. And it's very cool to kind of think of that earlier conversation and hear this one right now in this awesome program that it exists.
No, I'm excited to see that build. I mean, it's hard to provide these opportunities now with with our current jail, but you know, Susanna Wagner, who's our assistant jail captain, helps run the jail. And the idea came up and she took it and ran with it. She does a lot. She oversees a lot of our programming. And so I give a lot of credit for her to, hey, let's make this work, you know, because we only have really one space in the current jail that we can provide, you know, any type of programming. So it's always being used for, you know, a lot of the opportunities that we provide. So, no, I think it was a great, you know, chance to do something different, something new, and, you know, highlight that, you know, that relationship we have with Mid-State.
Always appreciate the time, sir. Yeah. A great conversation, as always, with you today. We do want to encourage people, if you do want more information or want to reach out to Sheriff Becker, you can do that. I do have the website, woodcountywi.gov. You can find the departments in the Sheriff's Department there, woodcountywi.gov. That's a great way to do it.
Yeah, that's a good way. Or just give us a call. You can call us through dispatch or our non-emergency line. Just goes directly to the Sheriff's Department for money through hours, business hours. 715-421-8715.
Always appreciate the time. Yeah. Stay safe out there. We'll talk again real soon.
Sounds good.
Ben, thank you again to Sheriff Sean Becker and our Wood County Sheriff's Department for joining us today. We say a big thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Big thank you to them. Like and subscribe to their page. A little more Midday Magazine coming up for you here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Hey, everybody, join us all this week for Todd and Phil's Just a Bit Outside Text to Win contest. Brewer tickets for a game later in September, and also two tickets to attend the VIP world premiere of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Brewers, includes an overnight stay at a hotel and a $100 quick trip gas card. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Just a Bit Outside.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us for a discussion on what's going on in her campaign for Congress. We also have J.R. Radcliffe with sports and weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. Join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Four are dead, at least nine injured, when a shooter went on a rampage at a high school in Winder, Georgia.